This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport. For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Well, you are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, the station giving fans a voice. And we've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It is time, as it is every Tuesday, 8:30 to 9, for the Celtic Takeover. And it is where you can not only join the show, you can be part of the show. Have your say on what you're seeing from your beloved Celtic so far. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 555. Well, we're going to talk about that super clash, the mighty clash with Rangers on the weekend. And if Celtic win that, could the title be wrapped up? But we have to start with those two games. But before all that, I have to bring in my main man. It is the co-host, the great and the wonderful John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. John, always a pleasure to spend half an hour in your company. But there is once again two games for us to look at. And I want to take it back to last Wednesday night. 2-2 draw with St. Livingston. A last gasp equaliser to rescue Celtic a point and save defeat, and it actually saved them from their first domestic defeat of 2020. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a difficult match, kind of you know, as expected. I think, you know, Livingston for whatever reason seemed to know how to play against us and kind of really frustrate us, and they did so again, played physically and well, and were actually pretty impressive. So full credit to them for giving us such a scare. Obviously, they beat us on their own patch last October, one of only two teams to beat us in the league this season. So, you know, no one was expecting this to be a walkover, I don't think, and Neil Lennon certainly wasn't. And I think that, you know, after the match, it seemed quite apparent that there was a sense of relief that they'd managed to get a point from the game. I think that's what Neil Lennon was targeting going into the game. I think he would maybe not admit that, but I think he would have been pretty happy with the draw. And then just with the way the evening panned out, getting a draw, dropping points, but actually extending our lead at the top of the table, I think, you know, says a lot about, you know, how difficult it can be in those nights, and Rangers faltered again, and Celtic, you know, effectively ahead of the curve when it comes to Rangers.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, John. It's quite an interesting, you know, obviously we know how much Celtic are on a tear this season. We can reel off the stats as we do every show, but you're just saying that not happy to settle for a point, but just pleased with a point, and that was what they went in with. Why is that, John?
I think it's because there's just something about the way Livingston play. They're so organised, and they're actually playing really well this season. I think they're fifth in the table. You know, they're trying to hunt down Aberdeen and Motherwell above them. They're just one of the success stories in Scotland this season, and their home record's fantastic. Difficult to play for any team that goes there on their artificial pitch. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, Celtic wouldn't have wanted to win the game. I think that a point in the circumstances was pretty good, and I think that was reflected by the celebrations and, you know, the fact that Celtic fans were actually happy to end the night last week, which is odd after saying we've dropped points. It doesn't happen often, but, you know, that was the reality of it.
Yeah, and it's rare we talk about any defeats, John, on this show. Hardly, I don't think we've done a show where we do them. And like we said, no domestic defeats in this calendar year 2020. The last 15 away games, they've won 14, draw 1. But when there has been times when it's looking like maybe it's not going Celtic's way, they have to battle at the end, like we saw with a last gasp equaliser. We're still talking about when there are little downtimes, it's coming from individual errors, individual mistakes. We mentioned Julian, but Forster as well. Why are we seeing that? Just a few mental lapses in concentration?
I mean, I think that's just over the course of a long season. I think we're just going to see that from time to time. You know, I think every team that makes these mistakes, with Celtic and Rangers in Scotland, is particularly highlighted when it does happen. I think as long as we can remain consistent for huge portions of the season and not let those individual mistakes define, you know, our league campaign or our cup, it sadly did define our Europa League campaign in the end. And so that's something that we need to look at. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Forster's been so superb this season. You know, you can kind of let him away with one in that sense. So I'm not too concerned about it. But, you know, obviously, I'd prefer them not to happen. It is a strange one. It's hard to explain. But ultimately, Celtic seem to come out on top more often than not, even when we are making these errors. So that's the heartening thing.
Yeah, and obviously when you are winning, you know, these errors are overlooked because it's so good and they are allowed one. You mentioned Forster in the League Cup final. Obviously, I think he was allowed a little slip up on the day. But, John, I have to ask, and maybe this is strange to people who don't really understand the Scottish Premiership, watching all the Celtic games now this season, why was there more Celtic fans at St Livingstone than the home team?
So I think the way it's working at the moment, I think some of the clubs are looking to maximise on the support of Celtic and Rangers. So essentially they would try and protect some of their stands for their home matches. Because there's a competition aspect to it. Obviously they don't want it to feel like a home match for, you know, Celtic or Rangers visiting their ground. St Johnstone have done it, Livingston are kind of doing it now. And I think it just allows them to maximise the cash that they get from ticket sales. In Scottish football, for all the teams really, much of their income comes actually from crowds coming through the turnstiles. It's not from TV money, it's not from prize money. It's just unrealistic for a lot of these teams. So they have to take what they're given, really. And one of the routes to cash success for them is utilising the support of Celtic and Rangers. And you know, as you see, it kind of sells out. And so everyone's a winner. There's more tickets for the fans travelling. There's more money for the teams hosting them. And then they've got their own goals that are probably separate from Celtic and Rangers. So if it allows them to get a little bit closer to Aberdeen or Motherwell, push a little bit further up the table, dream of a European spot from the league, then that's fair play from my perspective.
Yeah, me and all, I completely agree with you there, John, as well. You know, it can really make the difference in these teams' fortunes, you know, obviously with it from a financial standpoint. But it's interesting because we know how vital for any team in football, how important it is to play at home in front of your home crowd. Mm-hmm. It's almost like another away game in the season, and that can be mentally tough as well, can't it?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the attitude of these teams hasn't really changed for me, even though there are large away supports. When they come to Celtic Park, they look a bit shell-shocked sometimes, and sometimes their performance isn't quite up to par. But on their own patch, they seem to still rise to the occasion. So for me, I think the teams are still playing well enough to try and get results for us. I mean, Livingston were very impressive last week, for example. So I don't think it takes away too much from the home team's performance. It does look a little bit bizarre on the TV, but you know, that is what it is.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to talk about that because obviously what's happening in the world at the minute with coronavirus and Serie A in Italy obviously cancelling games for the next month. Who knows what other leagues and what countries will follow suit in that and what they've done. And obviously other sporting events like the Olympics and so on and so forth. Neil Lennon talking about that, saying, look, it would not be ideal to play games behind closed doors. And we mentioned, and we're talking about a lot of home fans in away stadiums for Celtic. What would this mean, John, for you in the Scottish Premiership, seeing empty stadiums and closed doors?
I mean, well, obviously it wouldn't be the best. You know, no one wants that to happen. I don't think any team across Europe is particularly celebrating the fact that they're playing behind closed doors. It is a bit strange. You know, I would have to wait and see what the impact was on the actual match. But, you know, in these circumstances, as you well know, you know, public health comes first. So it's like, What can you really do about it? You've got to prioritise that at the end of the day. And if it's better that the matches go ahead than they get postponed or even cancelled outright. So if they have to be played behind closed doors, then that's what has to happen. You know, at the moment, it looks like from what's the word coming from the Scottish FA and SPFL is it's not really on the horizon imminently. But this thing's changing day by day. So, you know, there's got to be an acceptance that this might happen before the end of the season. And I think that when it does happen, Celtic will just need to make sure, like, and Rangers and all the teams in Scotland will have to make sure that they don't let it affect them too much. And, you know, the priority is also that there's no outbreak in any of these squads, because that could actually hamper the fixture in general without, you know, it might not even get to be played behind closed doors. So it is a strange time. It's a worrying time for everyone, but hopefully you know, hopefully the measures in place are working and there's not any more drastic action on the horizon.
Yeah, John, a strange time, a worrying time for everyone involved. And some fans and managers have come out and said, instead of those games behind closed doors and empty stadiums, they want the games to be cancelled full stop, because football and sport ultimately is there for the fans. Fans are the lifeblood. And if we're not playing in front of the fans, then why play at all? And there is a little bit of element of truth in that as well, isn't there, John?
Well, I mean, that is a good point to make. You know, I think at this stage of the season, though, I think, you know, teams will just want to be getting the season over with. I mean, I think that if you can just see out the remainder of the games, there's not long left in the season, really. In reality, there's only 10 or so games left. So why not just try and finish them, get through the schedule? I know there's some European associations now also pushing UEFA to kind of perhaps postpone Euro 2020, move some games into the summer. So this is such a fluid situation that it's kind of so difficult to predict and how it will turn out. Obviously, everyone would prefer the fans at the game, but you know, if it's a toss up between the games being cancelled and the games being played behind closed doors, I'd actually rather they were played behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's such a tough one, obviously, John. But I do want to now talk about the game with St Mirren on the weekend. 5-0, bouncing back from that 2-2. And it was obviously a brilliant from a Lee Griffiths perspective. A hat-trick for him, Edouard, 28th of the season. But how good were Celtic on the day, John?
Well, fantastic. And you know, that's quality we've got in the team. And you know, that is the resilience in the team too. We didn't let a little blip and a pretty bad result against Livingston, you know, get to us. And we came out and beat St Mirren comfortably. Lee Griffiths on fire. You know, Odson Edouard looking good. Like, everyone looking good. And everyone looking in good shape. And we don't have a midweek game this week. And so it's important to get that one out of the way. Don't drop any more points before Ibrox. And then have a full week rested. It couldn't have been the perfect... There couldn't have been a more perfect weekend match for me ahead of the Ibrox fixture next week. You know, it was just perfect in every sense.
Yeah, especially that obviously you go into that with no midweek game, Rangers. That is a massive element into that game, a contributing factor, because Rangers playing on Thursday in the Europa League. But what about Griffiths? You know, someone who's worked really hard to get back into form, hat-trick on the day, and even Neil Lennon saying afterwards, this is a clear message to Steve Clarke. Rumours of Scotland again. What are you just making of it all?
Well, I just think he looks very motivated, and I think he's motivated to prove, anyway, I don't think he has any remaining doubters now, but, you know, prove the people who wrote him off and, you know, towards the second half of last year or even the first half of last year that, you know, he's not going away at Celtic, he's not going away at Scotland, you know, arguably Scotland's best striker, you know, in the national team, really has to play in the upcoming matches for me. He's in the red hot form. You need to take advantage of that confidence. Griffiths is a confidence player who, when he gets on a run of goals, you know, sometimes there's no stopping him. And I think that hat-trick will do a world of good. You know, he's into double figures for us for the season. 11 goals. I wouldn't be surprised if he pushed up towards the 20 mark, which would be a fantastic return, considering from where he's come from. So I'm delighted with him at the moment. He seems to be relishing his new role alongside Edouard. Seems to be relishing working under Lennon. He's looking fit. He's looking motivated. And that's all you can ask for from a player. And when Lee Griffiths is fit, motivated and confident, then there's really no better player that I would want at Celtic. He's that good on his day when he's hitting on all cylinders. He's just such a great finisher, and he's got such great movement to get into positions to finish that it's just thrilling to watch.
Yeah, and also what we're seeing very good management from Lennon, not just with Griffiths and Edouard and the players that come into the side, but obviously Christie and Rogic, who scored in the week. You know, that rotation, just keeping the players on their toes. Good man management from Lennon here.
Yeah, I mean, Lennon's managed this squad perfectly ever since he's come in last February. Like, nearly everything he's said and everything he's done has worked out well. There's been a few blips along the way, a few bad results, but you know, the fact that he's got all these players is, you know, he's not lucky in the sense because he signed some of these players, but, you know, he's got great options to choose from that he can put in a Rogic or a Christie or a Griffiths, and he is utilising his full squad now. Everyone seems to be pretty fit and healthy. And Lennon knows that he can keep everyone motivated for this final part of the season, because all these players know that our biggest games are ahead. and that there's, you know, semi-finals and potentially finals at play. There's two games against Rangers left. These are our most high-profile games of the season, and history's on the line. And these players know that these moments are magical, and there's such a big response from the support. You become a legend over this next 2 month period when you're at Celtic. Tom Rogic only knows that too well, so he'll be, you know, fighting to stay in that team. So it's exciting times at Celtic.
It is exciting times at Celtic, and how exciting will it be, and can it be on the weekend? Because me and John are going to be looking at that epic clash with Rangers on the weekend, and the fans will be waiting. They'll be excited, they'll be stressed, but you can take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind, 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for lost or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Into the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I am still joined with my co-host John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. We have managed to tear John away from his brilliant Celtic work to join us for half an hour, as he does every week. And you know what? You can join us too. Why don't you put a question to John and myself? What are you seeing from the Celtic side this season? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. John, I've saved a whole section for this because it is the big one on the weekend. It is the one that matters most, and we don't want to talk too much Rangers on this show, but you are playing this weekend. It's the epic clash. It's not the one that just the Celtic and the Rangers fans are watching, not just the Scottish fans, fans around the world, because it is huge. It's a big game on the footballing calendar. What are you making of it?
Well, it's an intriguing one, to say the least. I think, you know, this is, from a Celtic's perspective, I would suggest that this is a match that can kill off, you know, the so-called title race. I know it's, a lot of people are saying it's effectively done now, but, you know, obviously a good result, a positive result on Sunday kills it stone dead for me. So that's the aim of Neil Lennon's team. I think that we're going to be looking to go there and win. I don't think that's said often about going to Ibrox. Sometimes, you know, it's about going there and getting the draw. I wouldn't say no to a draw, but I think that with the confidence gap between the two teams at the moment being what it is, with Celtic in such fantastic attacking form and Rangers in difficult defensive form, I don't think there's any reason to fear going there, despite, you know, the woes of December. And I think that we can kind of exercise those demons, as well as really send a statement that, you know, Celtic are still the main event in Scotland, you know, in a one-on-one match, you know, in the league, and it's over for them. We can finish their season, their domestic season, on Sunday, and that's what Celtic have to go to Ibrox to try and do.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing, because obviously beating them in the League Cup final, they are out of the Scottish Cup, losing to Hearts. And now we're talking about a gap that is 13 points. They do have a game in hand. If they were maybe to win this on the weekend and then still have that game in hand, we can maybe talk about that, you know, the race is not done yet. It is not over. And John, I have to be honest and fair with you, because you have never once said, we've won it. You've never got carried away. You've always kept your feet firmly on the ground and been humble. But we do have to now offer the other opinion, which is, if Celtic do go and win on the weekend, the race is done, is it? Surely. I mean, because that will be not just a hill for Rangers to climb, but a mountain.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's a landmark match in that sense. Yeah, as I say, if we win on Sunday, or even, I think, even if we draw, really, realistically, you know, the league is over. And I think it's pretty much done already. You know, you never say never. There's strange things can happen in football, but, you know, that's certainly a big game. And I think Neil Lennon might have a little bit of a point to prove after the December derby. And I think we might see a bit of reaction from the players. We might see a little bit of different tactics from that day at the end of December. We won at Ibrox early in the season. I think everyone's kind of forgotten that now, just because the way the season's a long season, the way it pans out. But the first derby of the year actually occurred at Ibrox, and Celtic went to Ibrox and won that match. So it's not as if we're not up to it. And I think that we can really put, you know, a lot of joy in people's faces that are travelling to the game. And, you know, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what Celtic turn up and what kind of side we put out. You know, I think there's a chance here to play two up top with Griffiths and Edouard, and that's exciting for me.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, John, isn't it? Because we don't know what Celtic we're going to get on the weekend. We don't know what Rangers we're going to get, because people do forget, obviously, the game earlier on in the season, and then they forget them December wars, as you mentioned, but also that League Cup final as well. Three very different performances, three very different games. And, you know, maybe Rangers' domestic form, they would say this themselves, since that winter break, has been really poor. They've only actually excelled in Europe, in the Europa League. Maybe that will give them the spark they need, another 10%. But how will it play out with the two teams, not only where we currently are in the standings, but from the previous games this season?
Well, I just think it's an extra motivating factor for Celtic. I mean, we got beat at Celtic Park in December, and there was no getting around it. It was a terrible result. Nobody wants to see us beat by Rangers again. You know, even when, you know, we're likely going to win the league this season. We've won the League Cup already this season. We're favourites for the Scottish Cup. But the derby still means something to fans in Glasgow. That's just the way it is. You know, the fans interact with each other. They go to work with each other. They want the bragging rights. And that's what it's about sometimes at the end of the day too. And Sunday's match is no different. So Celtic need to go there and be proud of themselves and show far more than they did than that game at the end of December. We need to show, you know, we've been hyped up a lot over the last couple of months, and for good reason. We've been winning consistently and playing really well for the majority of matches. But it's time for us to show that gap. Time for us to show that on the pitch on Sunday. And I think that's what Lennon's team are going to do. And, you know, Lennon can be pragmatic at Ibrox, but I've got a sneaky suspicion he's going to be a bit bolder this time and put an attacking team on the pitch that really has a go at Rangers and tries to hit them where it hurts, because they're struggling defensively.
Yeah, and maybe not only trying to kill off Rangers in the game, but kill off Rangers in the title race as well, if you're saying he's going to be a bit bolder. But it's interesting, John, really, if we bookmark it where we are in the season, the last time you play Rangers, we were talking about this heavyweight tussle, toe-to-toe, the League Cup, all the momentum with Rangers. We had the New Year break, the winter break, and since then, it's been completely a different tale in the Scottish Premiership, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable, really, and you know, Celtic have just shown that consistency. They've got the squad depth there. They've got the players to punish all the other teams in the division. You know, this season hasn't quite gone to plan against Rangers, but they've totally dropped off. They've not shown the mentality of a team that can win trophies. And I think that as we get to the end of the season, as the pressure ramps up, you know, they've lost a little bit of belief. If I was Rangers at the moment, I'd be putting all my efforts into Thursday's match against Bayer Leverkusen, because effectively the league is over from their perspective. Gerrard's not said it, but every interview he gives, his body language says it for me. Mm. So the players are likely going to think that too. So, you know, Celtic are well rested all week. They'll be going to Ibrox, and an attacking performance, an aggressive performance from the off, can catch them cold for me, and that's what we should be looking to do, especially after any efforts they put into Thursday's match. So,
Yeah, well, this is it, John, isn't it? Thursday's massive for them. That it's one that they want to obviously win and go through, and obviously that is being affected by empty stadiums as well. But we're talking about them playing on Sunday. Celtic have not only a week of recovery, but a week to plan for this game, and it has to play a part on the weekend, doesn't it?
I think so, and Celtic haven't had a midweek break for God knows how long. I can't even remember the last time. I think it's perhaps nearly been the whole season, apart from international breaks. We've not really had a midweek break. We've certainly been playing midweek to weekend football every single week since the turn of the year. So this Celtic team have been on a relentless march. We've got a bit of breathing space now, and we need to take advantage of that and get our best players up to full fitness, get the right combinations on the training pitch. This Celtic team, I know for a fact that will have really ruminated on that defeat in December and really looked at where they went wrong in that match. And people like Scott Brown and Neil Lennon, and, you know, others, even newcomers like Christopher Julien, won't have been proud of that performance. And they'll really want to, you know, kind of upset them on their own patch. And I think we've got a really good chance to do that on Sunday. And that's why I'm excited about it. You know, you can never really predict how the derbies will go in the end, but you can only have hopes. And this week, whatever reason, I have a lot of high hopes about Sunday's match.
Well, high hopes then, John. What is your score prediction? You knew it was coming.
I mean, I'll go for 2-0. I'll go for 2-0. I've got
2-0, not only a massive win over your rivals, but a clean sheet to boot. John, you know I'm going to hold you to that. I won't tell you what my thoughts are, but you'll get them next week. And then we will, as always, dissect the game. But could that race be wrapped up? John McGinley joining us there from the Grand Old Podcast. And you can join us, as you do every Celtic show, on Love Sport Radio. And not only you can join us, you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio and always get in touch. But the Celtic Fan Show continues, and it could be a jubilant one next week. 8:30 to 9, every Tuesday on Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.